It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go, off and running on this 14th day of July, 2022. Happy Bastille Day to the French. This program is, of course, live. I'm a couple of minutes late to the air, but we should be okay nonetheless. And maybe if you're listening on the head-on live stream, you might pass it along to folks who listened on the White Rose stream that for some reason or another, the White Rose Society streamer ain't working. No. Yeah, I know. Brother Deacon Asa. Hey! Wrong Trump, damn it! I know. And somewhere, there are probably shouts of glee emanating from a room or whatever, an apartment at Mar-a-Lardass. I'm talking about, of course, the passing of Ivana Trump at the age of 73. Maybe, I don't know, you know, stranger things have happened. Maybe the stress of watching her daughter participate in acts of treason against her own adopted country were a little too much for Ivana Trump to bear. Who knows? But anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. It is the 14th of July. It is also Thorn in the Side Thursday. And I'm Robin, and if you'd like to be part of the Merry Madcap Wacky Zany real-time multimedia Madcap extravaganza that serves as an adjunct to this program when it's live Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, and the Great Globe Round, well, head on over to headon.live and click on chat room and pick yourself out a screen name and a password and jump in, and you will be immediately greeted by the early arrivers, the pre-tardy bell. I was barely in under the tardy bell myself. Goodness gracious. But you will be greeted by early arrivers, Stockton Larry and Squeaky, New Jersey Nick and Anatole, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although he is a third-stage guild navigator, has chosen not to fold space and remains Sparky and not Mancave. Also at HeadOn.live, there's a little yellow PayPal button, which is how you help keep the program on the air. We are, courtesy of our dear friend Zed, we have a matching challenge for 5 new subscribers at $10 apiece this month. And remember, if that happens, then Zed also kicks a little something over to Brad and Desi over at the Green News Report, which is awfully kind. So 5 new subscribers, $10 apiece, you know, roughly less than half of a stick of chewing gum per program. Not a hell of a lot that sets you back there, even in times like these. Or maybe it's just the inflated price of the chewing gum. Who knows? Maybe it's supply chain issues. But anyway, we thank our 14th day of the month subscribers. And that means big thanks to Matt in San Francisco and to Ralphs. Thank you so very much. And Janie, thank you. It's so nice to hear from you. Thank you so very much. Our fundraising goal has actually dropped to $958. Thank you so very much. That's profound. So that's that means that we've got three unfunded programs. That's this day, you know, Thorn in the Side Thursday, and Prayer Meeting Wednesday, and Titanic Tuesday. And we've got $58 to go on More in Monday. That's amazing. That's so huge. If we can knock some of that down, it will be powerful because the bills, they never stop coming. The bills start coming and they don't stop coming. All-Star. I forget who did that. Whatever. But, no. Thank you. And hopefully we will knock that down over the course of this Thorn in the Side Thursday. As Brother Deacon Asa did point out, Ivana Trump, aged 73, is finally free of Nitwit Nero, and she had a hell of a life with him. He put her through hell. Remember, she testified. In her divorce proceeding that he kept a copy of Hitler's speeches by the bedside, probably in translation. I don't think he speaks the original German. And when he himself, let's remember that this guy is a domestic abuser. And she testified under oath about it, and she was never charged with perjury for it. But she had had some scalp work done, and she recommended her surgeon to Nitwit Nero. And it is apparently a trip to Pain Mountain, and he hurt really badly. And as a result of the fact that he was experiencing pain, he grabbed Ivana by the hair and tore out hunks of hair from her head. How much more do we need to know about this guy? Really? Several of you commenting on this. Matt in San Francisco pointing out, apparently all the people praying for Trump's death needed to be more specific. Yeah, wrong address. New Jersey Nick said the angel of death had the wrong address. I know. Kim in New York, hey Kim, said, wouldn't it be lovely? Sad news about Ivana, more proof that there's no justice in the universe, but wouldn't it be fantastic if she had a codicil in her will directing her lawyer to release all the dirt that she had on Trump? She probably could have destroyed him with what she knew. Yeah, codicil. Maybe we could set up some sort of a chant. Codicil. 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 I wonder how many talk radio programs there are that are going to include the word codicil today. Maybe more than I suspect. Thank you, Kim. Goodness me. Okay, so. I'm just, because I knew I had some, other email from earlier. Subject line, good, because fuck this bitch. Lauren Boebert's Shooter's Grill restaurant closes after landlord refused to renew the lease. The most psychopathic sentence of the first paragraph, Lady B points out. For years, downtown Rifles restaurant scene was anchored by one of the only places in the U.S. you could order a cheeseburger from a server packing a 9mm pistol on her hip. And I have yet to... Hooters with it sounds like a Hooters with high powered weaponry. Oh my God, But yeah, it's gone. And good news is that in that. Let's see. Oh, and Lady B said earlier, last night, I'm listening to Lawrence O'Donnell cover the Uvalde video. So much I want to write, but I don't feel comfortable about it anymore. Do your best. Keep the community happy. I understand. It is. I presume you've seen the Uvalde video. All those. And you know, we talked a little bit in the aftermath of Uvalde about how maybe the American people actually need to see the carnage. Maybe the people who are so fiercely protective of their Second Amendment rights need to see the consequences of their insistence upon those rights. Because it's brutal. But then again, there are probably too many people in America who would watch that and, oh God, enjoy it. I know, sick to even contemplate, isn't it? But we've talked for years, and I'm proud of the fact that we have done more. We've discussed more. Over the course of the years, about America's Nazi problem, than maybe any other program out there. And we've documented it in granular detail. And to a certain extent, you know, when you when you do things like this, you whisper something into the ear of the universe. Maybe it kind of gets legs. Maybe that's the reason that, and January 6th, too, of course. They probably had something to do with it, but we've got a long history of talking about the fact that we probably have a bigger Nazi problem in this country than most people dare to even think about or realize or even so much as ponder. And so I ran across this story. It's fresh. It's new. It's just about a little something that happened in the Congress of the United States. And Lord, it tells you so very much. I have the Vice version of the story. There's this has been one of those things that on our side of the aisle, every couple of years we have a collective conniption over the really ooky, yucky, gross, disgusting things in it. I'm talking about the NDA, the National Defense Authorization Act. It came up for reconsideration, renewal, whatever. They crafted a new one. The House of Representatives did. And the nature of the nature of passing legislation in the Congress is an arcane business, to say the least. And there is a process with which we are all familiar, in which a bill can be amended. And there was an amendment process on the National Defense Authorization Act. And I wholeheartedly agree with it. And I strongly suspect that the entirety of the Horn Family Community Congregation would agree with this amendment. The amendment that was offered was one that would order the federal government to dig into our white supremacist and neo-Nazi problem, or just Nazi problem, both in the military and in branches of federal law enforcement. And we've got an example of that law enforcement issue in the stack, too. And we'll get to that. Now, the good news is the amendment passed, because we still have a Democratic majority in the House of Representatives. And, of course, this NDA has to go to the Senate and be passed there, too. I don't necessarily know if it will pass in the Senate, because we're talking, about, of course, about the Senate, where good legislation goes to die. And then we blame Nancy Pelosi for it. But this will go to the Senate. It passed. The Democrats had the votes to get it. But here's the thing. All 208 members of the House of Representatives Republican Caucus, and for those keeping score at home, that includes Republican heroes Adam Kinzinger and, of course, the anti-Trump Liz Cheney, all of them voted against this amendment to try to root out Nazis and white supremacists in military and federal law enforcement of the United States of America. I don't know how many, well, it's not a matter of how many times I have to. It's not one of those don't make me pull the car over and I will kind of things. But over and over and over again, I've said, yes, Liz Cheney's doing a good job. Adam Kinzinger's doing a good job on the J6 Commission. But babies, they're still Republicans. And as Ralph's pointed out, Nazis in the military? You mean those very fine people that Nitwit Nero was talking about back in 2017? The very ones, Ralph's. So a desire to find and perhaps root out Nazis in the military and federal law enforcement of the United States of America was opposed by every Republican in the House of Representatives. What does that mean? Well, according to the subheading in this story at Vice by Tess Owen, and I'm sure Ms. Owen did not write either the headline or the subhead. The headline reads, "Every single House Republican voted against investigating neo-Nazis in the military." The subhead says, "The amendment still passed, but the vote shows how a genuine..." Now, wait, here it comes. Oh, this is noxious. "The vote shows how a genuine national security threat has been turned into partisan football." I read that, and, you know, it's just one of those journalistic art of knowing words things. I take a bit of umbrage at calling the desperate effort to root out Nazis from our military partisan football. You know, the Nazis and the anti-Nazis are just going to square up and play a little two-hand touch, or maybe a little flag football on a strictly partisan basis. No, bullshit, hell no. this is existential to the continued existence of the United States of America. Now, what the bill does, as Ms. Owen reports, if the amendment survives Senate scrutiny, that's a big if, it would mandate the chiefs of the FBI, Department of Homeland Security, and Department of Defense to produce a report assessing the extent of white supremacist or neo-Nazi activity in their ranks and how they plan to address it. They'd have 180 days from the enactment of the National Defense Authorization Act to compile that report. New Jersey Democrat Representative Bill Pascrell went on Twitter and said, "We just voted to combat neo-Nazis in our military, and every single Republican voted no." Representative Brad Schneider, who's also a Democrat and comes from Illinois and was a sponsor of the bill, said in debate yesterday, "Such behavior, such extremism is a threat to us in all segments of society. There's no reason to believe that our military is any different." But along comes, gosh, I wonder why this guy would be opposed. Andy Biggs from Arizona, Stan, who declared that trying to find and root out and get rid of Nazis and white supremacists in the military of the United States and federal law enforcement was Orwellian in nature, and it denigrates law enforcement and military personnel. This amendment attempts to create a problem where none exists. Now, let's be clear. No small number of veterans have been busted in the January 6th insurrection. And some of them were Nazis. The odds of them becoming Nazis after they got out, I suppose, exist at some statistical level, but it's not nearly as high a level as the likelihood that they were radicalized before they went in or while they went in. But then again, Andy Biggs was up to his eyeballs in the insurrection itself. In the coup, in the putsch, in the terrorist attack against constitutional governance in the United States of America. And guess what? After naming names in the J6 hearing, and Andy Biggs was one of those names, again, not to put too fine a point on it, Liz Cheney said, "Yep, I agree with the guy that I named names as having been involved in the planning of the insurrection." Am I the only one that has a problem with that? Can we talk about that later? Maybe I'm just being a hysterical woman about this. I don't know. But this really does stink. There was another amendment, or rather, this is a standalone bill, the Domestic Terrorism Prevention Act. And again, if it can get through the Senate, if it can not be found to congeal and die in the puddle of blood and dust on Mitch McConnell's desk, it would create domestic terrorism departments in the FBI, the DOJ, and Homeland Security, and their job would be to keep an eye on those kinds of crimes. In that instance in the House, only one Republican voted for the bill. To his credit, it was Adam Kinzinger, who also voted against trying to root out Nazis and white supremacists who really do exist in the military. Four other brave Republican souls took a powder on voting for it at all. So that means 203 Republicans voted against having departments in DOJ and Homeland Security that would look into domestic terrorism, which we now know is primarily a matter of right-wing extremism. And we've known about this for years. Think about the hissy that the right-wing Congress critters had, Congress creeps, back in, what was it, 2009? Remember? The report came out from the Obama administration, even though it had been commissioned and completed under the Bush administration, and Republicans squealed like stuck pigs. Stand by, please. Okay, all better now. So that's where we begin with this thorn in the side Thursday. I'm so gobsmacked by this business. Imagine having every member of a national legislative body vote in favor of letting Nazis remain and white supremacists generally remain in stealth mode inside the military of the United States. Why, it's almost enough to make you think that, I don't know, y'all, they're going to do it again. I mean, what the hell else am I supposed to come away with from that? They're going to do it again. That's why you need Nazis to stay inside, you know, in little sleeper cells in the military, so that when you decide to have a putsch, when you decide to overthrow civilian governance in the United States, you've already got a cadre who are ready to, well, storm the barricades. Any pushback on this? Am I wrong? Am I reading this somehow? I mean, is Andy Biggs of Arizona stand correct? Is this a non-problem? I'm having a hard time figuring it is. You know, being how we had all the Nazis and everything. And I said, okay, you'll notice that the amendment touched upon the FBI and Homeland Security, right? Did you notice what was not mentioned? The Department of the Treasury? Federal law enforcement was the term that was used. Well, there's another cabinet level department that has some law enforcement in it. That would be the Department of the Treasury. Did you notice that? FBI, Homeland Security, and Department of Defense are affected. Treasury is apparently not. That's important because, well, the Department of the Treasury is the home of, if I recall correctly, the Secret Service? Yes? Right? And that's significant because, well, the Secret Service protects the President of the United States and other elected officials. And in the stack today, a story about a little something going on with the Secret Service. we already knew from previous reporting that there is some that something is rotten in the state of Denmark, or at least the Secret Service. Get all Shakespearean. That the hand-picked head of the Secret Service detail was a diehard maggot, totally in simpatico with Nitwit Nero. And so we found out something. The Intercept found out that, and this is a quote, the Secret Service erased text messages from January 5th and January 6th, 2021, according to a letter given to the January 6th committee and reviewed by The Intercept. The letter was originally sent by the Department of Homeland Security Office of Inspector General to the House and Senate Homeland Security Committees. Though the Secret Service maintains that the text messages were lost as the result of a device replacement program, curiously, that device replacement program took effect just a little bit after people who were in charge of oversight asked for, well, they asked the Secret Service to turn over their electronic communications. Oops. So it sort of makes you wonder, I mean, is this Rosemary Woods and the missing 18 minutes back in the Nixon era? You mean to tell me that the Secret Service, when they get new cell phones, they don't have their text messages backed up to the cloud? I thought I was the only idiot who didn't do that, or who did that. Didn't. Not sure. But the interest in the Secret Service kind of ramped up after Cassidy Hutchinson testified a couple of weeks back, or a week or so back. And I was wrong. Secret Service is not in Treasury anymore. They are under Department of Homeland Security, and so they are within the jurisdiction of the Department of Homeland Security Office of Inspector General. And the OIG did, in fact, ask for records of electronic communications between January 5th and January 6th. And that's when the Secret Service would dog-ate them. I mean, that's why they're called bites and bits. Kibbles and bits, and the dog ate them. It is a puzzlement. In the Intercept report, the guy, the hand-picked maggot who was running the show for Nitwit Nero that day, Tony Ornato, remember, Nitwit Nero did something that had never been done before and made Tony Ornato his deputy White House chief of staff. And in case anybody was wondering, after all that, Tony Ornato still has a federal job. In fact, he's the assistant director. I mean, talk about having a worm deep in the apple. He's the assistant director of the Office of Training for the Secret Service. So, in point of fact, he'll be training new agents on, I guess, how to be very fine people. And now that I've corrected my own error, and I know that Treasury doesn't have... So, I was wrong about that previously. This bill would look into, perhaps, the behavior of a Tony Ornato. In point of fact, CNN got hold of a letter that showed just how the Secret Service responded. First, the department notified us that many U.S. Secret Service, and they saw that the department notified us that many U.S. Secret Service text messages from the January 5th and 6th, 2021, were erased as part of a device replacement program. The United States Secret Service erased those text messages after OIG requested records of electronic communications from the USSS. They refer to it as the USSS because referring to it simply as the SS, well, it's got some negative connotations. As part of our evaluation of events at the Capitol on January 6th, the letter from DHS IG Joseph Kafari states, second, DHS personnel have repeatedly told OIG inspectors that they were not permitted to provide records directly to OIG and that such records had to first undergo review by DHS attorneys. This review led to weeks-long delays in OIG obtaining records and created confusion over whether all records had been produced. Confusion. Somehow, I'm guessing the only confusion was confusion over whether or not they would be doing some federal time. Okay, going back to the business of the reading material that Nitwit Nero kept by his bed. Scott in San Diego points out bedside book. It was the Hitler's Speeches coloring book. It was sold with an 8-pack of cheap, generic, non-Crayolas that Donald liked to chew on. Unlike genuine Crayolas that were non-toxic, this colorful 8-pack from hell were fast-acting toxicity itself, whose effects were guaranteed to do harm forever. Sometimes I wish these things were a little more difficult to discern from reality. Randy Radar says, we've supposedly got a fascist running for governor here in the state of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and I bet that the Democrats will let him win. Let him win? It's my understanding that there is some... what's his name? Mastriano? Mastacholi? There's no wanting to let him win. Yes, yes, Lee, I was thinking of Smash Mouth. That's who it was. Ron and Raleigh pointing out Unite the Right. When the reporters investigated Unite the Right March back in August of 2017, they found a shitload of Nazi cells in the military. When they asked military higher-ups about Nazis in the military, the senior officers stared down and shuffled their feet. The only thing the military asks is if you have Nazi tattoos, make sure they couldn't be seen when in uniform. Army of one, my ashy black ass. We've come a long way, baby. We really have. It was not kibbles and bits, it was gravy train, says Randy Radar. The Biggs Nazis in the military non-problem, Scott points out. So he's not only fine with Nazis in the military, but he's also fine with spending millions to train them for military service and then spend additional millions to find them and toss them out of the military? Jeez, I remember when Republicans went on and on and on about avoiding wasteful spending, fraud, and abuse. Yeah, that was a long, long, long time ago. Gone. Well, gone are the days. Long gone. Oh, and you remember how we had the clip of Josh Hawley being schooled by the UC Berkeley law professor? We have a another fun clip. This is a real doozy. I had no idea that Josh Hawley was married to a handmaid sort, and that her grift was over at the Alliance Defending Freedom. It's almost like Josh Hawley's a little is a member of the Slappy Thomas governmental overachievers club. Because that's the case. Slappy's got Jenny, and Josh Hawley has Mrs. Hawley. And she was called as a minority witness in the hearing about reproductive choice and reproductive freedom. And if Andy Biggs wants to throw around the word Orwellian, I suggest he show up at the Hawley's house the next time they're having a little cocktail affair. Of course, they probably already have, because this being Bastille Day in La Belle France, isn't that an iconic French painting of Liberty with her arm in the air, waving the revolutionaries on, the storming of the Bastille? Am I remembering that correctly? I think so. Well, remember the picture of Josh Hawley on January 6th waving the various and sundry terrorists and Nazis and white supremacists on toward storming the capital of the United States? Well, Mrs. Hawley has her own grift. Josh Hawley's grift, of course, is sitting in the Senate of the United States, because the state of Missouri apparently has enough various and sundry white supremacists, maggots, Nazis, Klansmen, and so forth to keep him in that cushy position. But D.C. is an expensive place, and so Mrs. Hawley has a job outside the home, where she's an executive with the Alliance Defending Freedom, which they're not doing at all. They're one of those right-wing jurisprudential legislative chop shops, kind of like Liberty Lobby. Sit, Liberty. Lit. Sit. And the Alliance Defending Freedom has particularly been busy churning out vomitous, misogynistic legislation against women's rights to control the workings of their own bodies, as well as legislation against kids being, well, here we go again, trans. But yesterday, she was burbling on about abortion. And, of course, what she knows about the science and medicine of women's bodies, you could put in a thimble and still have room to, you know, for a $6 cup of Starbucks coffee. She's not much interested in the working of women's bodies because, well, A, she's a theocrat, and B, she is absolutely full to bursting with internalized misogyny. She is, in fact, a self-hating woman. And she decided to try to get sideways with Ayanna Pressley. Oh, honey. Sometimes we make mistakes in life, and this was one of them. Representative Presley wanted to talk about ectopic pregnancies, and the following colloquy transpired.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Hawley, please state for the record, when an ectopic pregnancy ruptures, what are the chances that it can be carried to term?
My understanding is that when an ectopic pregnancy ruptures is a life-threatening condition. That's why the treatment for an ectopic pregnancy is
Excuse me, an abortion. I'm sorry, reclaiming my time here. Again.
Hold the fuck on. Somewhere the ashes of Socrates and Plato and Aristotle and the rest of those are trying to reconstitute themselves just so that they can kick furniture. Did you hear that astonishing attempt at logic?
See ruptures. What are the chances that it can be carried to term?
My understanding is that when an ectopic pregnancy ruptures is a life-threatening condition. That's why the treatment for an ectopic pregnancy is an abortion.
So an abortion can never be a treatment for a life-threatening condition. And if she weighs the same as a duck, she's made of wood and therefore a witch. Do I have that right? By extension, then, Mrs. Hawley of the Alliance Defending Freedom, sounds more like she's a member of the Alliance Defending Stupid, apparently believes, and there's that most dangerous word in the English language, believes, she apparently believes that a pregnancy can never be life-threatening. And this really does make me just want to run screaming out the studio door and eat dirt and run rabbits and drink pee and put onions in my socks. The maternal mortality rate in the United States of America is the lowest maternal mortality rate in... Worst. The maternal mortality rate in the United States of America is the worst maternal mortality rate of any so-called developed country. The maternal mortality rate in the United States of America is, in fact, worse than that of our 90 miles distant neighbor, Cuba. And yet, this dum-dum is sitting there saying that pregnancies are not life-threatening because an ectopic pregnancy doesn't require an abortion. And pardon me while I take a moment and say, and it's all tax-free. Hallelujah. Erin Morrow Hawley. A few decades back, she would have just been referred to as Mrs. Josh Hawley.
I'm sorry, reclaiming my time here.
Oh. Yeah, reclaiming your time, Representative Presley. Go ahead. Be a badass with her.
Again, could you just answer the question? When an ectopic pregnancy ruptures, what are the chances that it can be safely carried to term? And you know what, just to make this even clearer, I'm looking for a number between 0 to 100. Can you give me...
Oh, my God! That's some serious shade. Erin Morrow Hawley of the Alliance Defending Freedom may be freezing to death at this point. She's in so much shade. Just to make this easy for you, hon, I'm looking for a number between 0 and 100. Can you guess one? You guessing's okay.
Give me a percentage.
Sure, I believe zero ectopic pregnancies, even those that do not rupture, have a chance of successfully being carried to term. That's why the treatment for them is not an abortion.
Reclaiming my time. It seems that there is a deficit in your understanding of reproductive health.
And that's polite congressionalese for Girl, you are so stupid. Your brain is so tiny that it cannot be found with any presently available medical imaging devices. You're dumb, hon. I mean, you're an idiot. I'm happy to translate. Now, Miss Presley is from the North, so I would never expect her to say something like, "Bless your heart. God love you. You can't help it." But it's in there.
In fact, I want the record to reflect that according to the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, treatment for ectopic pregnancy requires ending a non-viable pregnancy. Now, let's turn...
That, with respect, ma'am, that's not an abortion.
What the fuck is it? No, really, Aaron Morrow Hawley of the Alliance Defending Freedom? Is it a tonsillectomy? An appendectomy? Is it a tummy tuck? Is it a nose job? Sugar, it's an abortion. You see, act in haste, repent in leisure. These disgusting, misogynistic fetus fetishists have just figured out, because, you know, they live in their own little bubble, and they've just figured out that they've pissed off 80% of the people of the United States of America, women, men, non-binary, cis, trans, straight, gay, because they don't give a, we know this, they don't give a good goddamn about babies or life. What they're about is political power, and the mouth walkers and knuckle breathers out there who follow them and send them checks and the like, well, they thought there were a lot more of them than there are. There aren't. Really, really aren't. And so now they're trying to redefine abortion. Nobody in their right mind, and I'm not suggesting that Aaron Morrow Hawley of the Alliance Defending Dumbasses is. I just feel sorry for the children that emerged from her and are being raised by her and Josh. Jesus, what a nightmare horror world for a little one to have to grow up in. Rise and shine, little sinners! Not an abortion. Because, see, all this legislation doesn't accept the removal of ectopic pregnancies from them. So now they're desperately trying to say, well, no, we didn't say anything about ectopic pregnancies because it's a pregnancy, but you don't get, when you get rid of it, it ain't an abortion. And yet at the same time, these theocratic fascist freaks will make the argument that a contraceptive pill creates, and this is a term they came up with, this is all theirs, a silent abortion. Also known as having one's cake and eating it too. Yeah, thank you, Ralphs. Josh and Aaron have three poor little children. Poor, poor little children who will probably grow up so twisted and warped that they won't be able to take a breath without loathing themselves for taking it.
This is my time. I asked you the question, you answered, and I am now providing you with the accurate information from medical experts. My question was, when an ectopic pregnancy ruptures, what are the chances it can be safely carried to term? The answer is 0%.
I answered that correctly.
Further,
when it I got that right.
One's accurate understanding of reproductive health and abortion care with an ectopic pregnancy, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists says, quote, treatment for ectopic pregnancy requires ending a non-viable pregnancy. This is my time. End quote.
That is
so now I'm going to turn to the real experts.
That's not an abortion.
Ow. It's not an abortion. It's not an abortion. It's not an abortion because I say so. And like, I'm a privileged white lady. Do you not see my blonde hair and my white skin? That means I'm right.
And it's so cool, Ayanna Pressley actually has her head down, and she's, I'm reclaiming my time before dipshit can even get the words out. But I answered that question right. I want 100, I want my gold star. They tell me all the time over there to the Alliance defending dumbasses how smart I am. I'm smart too. I done went to some Ivy League in schools. They taught me I had to be smart to get into it. Stop bullying me. You're critical race theorying me.
And we're the snowflakes.
Would have been nice if she'd gone back to work. Honey, you suck. You really stunk it up in there. Pack your shit. Oh, but that never happens.
Quote.
That is
so now, I'm going to turn to the real...
And she raises her little pixie-ish nose up in the air and points her chin at Ayanna Pressley.
Yeah, I know. Can I get a witness? Matt in San Francisco asks, how long until the witness puts her fingers in her ears and starts yelling, la, 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 la. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. I can't hear you.
But what she can't stand is the idea, because I guess Jesus won't like her or
Thank
something.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Miss Holly...
She even says the, but it's not an abortion.
Well, what about when you take a pregnancy out of a 10-year-old?
That's not an abortion either, especially when she wasn't even raped. 10-year-olds can't get pregnant.
Well, we talked about that. All of that shit kind of, all of that, it's a fraud, it's a fake, kind of dried up.
Including, but not limited to, and probably the world's most prominent fascist Ahayan, Representative Jim Jacket Off Jordan. You'll recall that in the matter of the 10-year-old rape victim who was pregnant, he went and tweeted, another lie! Anyone surprised?
Well, curiously, he went and deleted the tweet.
He did tweet out that he wanted the accused rapist prosecuted. Who's out there saying that they shouldn't be? What do you want? You want a cookie? Jacket off? Over on Twitter, Ron Filipkowski said, you know, it's hard to believe Jim Jordan would dive right in to try and cover up a sexual assault. So unlike him. But, well, this is one of those matters where, you know, I didn't have to get out the magic eight ball with the cracked screen that says, answer Hazy, ask again later. No, not in the least. Because, as I predicted in yesterday's program, no sooner had
the identity of the accused rapist been made public, then there began to be hissies. Hither, thither, and yon. The Washington Post reporting, after arrest and rape of 10-year-old girl, Fox News hosts shift focus. What did they shift focus to? Exactly what they said they would. Goddamn illegal aliens! This is Joe Biden's fault! Yeah, they turned it up to 11 for that. Just checking to make sure that we're... Anybody having a hard time getting the stream via Head On Live? Because I had a note from Frank where he said, I can't find this live broadcast on the website nor the stream through TuneIn Radio app on my phone. Is there a problem with the broadcast tonight? You know what? I hate to have this kind of confusion. Well, what I'm going to do, it's Thursday. Oh, by the way, gravy train. When I was a kid, Lady B says, I always wondered how a horse-drawn covered wagon could disappear into the cabinet and turn into a bag of dog food. It makes its own gravy. Just add water. Gravy train. Yeah, and it was a cute little chuck wagon, wasn't it? Oh, thank you, Darlene. No problem with the Head On stream. Mrs. Moran Hawley is Exhibit 1 in how to fail upwards when you're a Republican maggot. And Mrs. Anti-Abortion, Anti-Privacy Rights Foster can go pound sand about everyone just all getting along and singing Kumbaya, my lord, Kumbaya, now that Roe has been overturned. Fuck you. Go take your guilt over and unwillingness to accept your decision to abort your zygotes elsewhere and stop trying to legislate your regret on everyone else, you phony. Can we send it? Can we send that D-trans girl that we talked about a couple of days ago, darling? Can we send her with over to hang out with Foster too and pound sand? You know, regrets what she did, so wants to make sure that nobody else can ever be happy. Oh my, what the fuck? Says Silent R. Lamar. I'm so far up my own ass with these people. I'm so fed up with these people. I am truly, I'm truly tired of their fifth grade educations. Didn't even graduate sixth grade like Jethro Bodine did. Born with a full set of teeth. Just like a beaver. And just when I thought I was finished reading about her disgusting ass, Lady V says, Lauren Boebert claims husband only exposed himself to teen girl because she begged for it. Well, you know, I did say yesterday that pretty sooner or later some Republican's going to ask how that 9-year-old was dressed. Over at Jezebel, where they refer to Bobblehead as brunette Marjorie Taylor Greene, and they point out the fact that, oh my God, she's written a memoir. It's called My American Life. Can the folks that do that radio show on public radio maybe sue for infringement? That'd be fun. Well, Clanny Oakley's been, of course, grunting and barking a lot about transgender groomers and gay groomers and drag queen groomers. Well, in her book, she takes up for hubby whom she describes as hunky. No. She takes up for him because he did jail time for public indecency and lewd exposure. Because, well, he exposed himself to a teenager at a bowling alley. Naturally, Bobblehead says it was a misunderstanding. Jason, that's Jason with a Y, he was bonding. No, really, bonding. He was bonding over drinks. They were having some drinks, Jason and her stepdad and some friends over at the Far Side Lane Bowling Alley in Rifle, Colorado. And then, according to Clanny Oakley, a 17-year-old bartender there at the Fireside Lane Bowling Alley in Rifle, Colorado, the 17-year-old horned in. Oh, dear. And went after Clanny Oakley's man. People had told the 17-year-old girl, according to Clanny Oakley, about her hunky husband's great tattoo in a private area. Quoting Clanny Oakley, made her curious, so she pressed Jason to show it to her right there at the bar. And she wouldn't stop asking to see the tattoo. And only after she begged and begged and begged, yeah, sure she did, hon. And Jason just acted like he was going to unzip his pants because he'd had too much to drink while he was bonding. So the bowling alley owner shows up and says, Jason, you gotta go. And that's when drunk Jason Boobert done throwed a whole order of French fries at the owner of the bowling alley. And according to, again, passive voice, doing a lot of work here, according to Lauren Bobblehead Boobert, the police were called. See how that's just, it's a little bit more passive, it's a little bit more soft and soothing than saying the outraged owner of the bar, in defense of the 17-year-old girl who had just had Jason Boebert's junk flashed at her, called the cops. The language is substantially different. The story's pretty old, but the fact that, I guess it's news that she's now talking about it in a memoir. I'm sure that's how she pronounces it, a memoir. And he pled guilty, charged with indecent exposure to a minor. He knew the truth, and the truth was he didn't do what he was accused of, but the entire experience opened Jason's eyes to the reality that he needed the alcohol and anger management classes that came with the plea deal. And the left should applaud him rather than ridicule my Jason. did the plea deal also include him not having to be listed on the sex offender registry? Because I'm thinking indecent exposure to a minor, how is that not a sex offender registry thing? And he's a great one. That same year, he, according to the pleadings, did unlawfully strike, shove, or kick and subjected Lauren Boobert to physical contact. That's how she knew that he loved her. and the next year they got all done married up, and then she delivered her own baby right there in Jason's pick-em-up truck, and it's been love, love, love ever since. Wow. Twoa. Yeah. I don't know. Don't look for Lauren Bobblehead Boobert to be out there leading the charge to protect women from domestic violence anytime soon. Never, says Matt in San Francisco. Never, even in my drinking and drugging days, did I expose myself to anyone. Why do I imagine wherever in public the Boberts go, a crescendo of white trash can be heard murmured by the crowd? I don't think you're imagining things. Yeah, for those of you who have slogged through the works of some of the works of William Faulkner, you will recognize in Lauren and Bobblehead a particular type of person, a family of characters created by Faulkner in his fictitious Yoknapatawpha County, Mississippi. And they are called Snopeses. Maybe we should refer to Clanny Oakley as the representative from Yoknapatawpha County. She's got a husband who flashes his, who has pled guilty to flashing his junk at a 17-year-old girl. But somehow or another, Bobblehead is upset about drag queens. Drag queens. Oh, well. Yeah, we can sort that out, I guess. Oh, my God, says Darlene. Boobert bought Jason's bullshit story. I think she may have been there. She may have seen it all happen. She may have been pissed that that 17-year-old was trying to get after her hunky husband. Yeah, Boebert's book. Ron in Raleigh says, I wonder who published this tome. Can you imagine the poor editor of this work by a woman who only passed her GED about a year and a half ago? She failed the GED once before she passed. And now we're back to the monkey, the mental image of the monkey doing the math problem. The visor, the furrowed brow, the pencil point against the outstuck tongue. Yeah. Oh my God. So there's the filler obster. Thank you so much, to Janie, for getting us started earlier this afternoon. That's such a help. And so we are at $958 to go to get caught up. $58 gets us actually fully funded for this past Monday. And then we've just got Tuesday, yesterday, and today. And Lord God, we do need to be funded. Just, we do. It's nice to, we do. If you want to help, use the PayPal button over there at headon.live or become a Patreon subscriber or use the U.S. Postal Service. Several people still do that, and we thank you so very much. And Let's go over and check in with Silent R. Lamar. Hey, Lamar.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
I'm good.
I'm glad to hear you good, but you know, I'm beside myself. You know, last time I called in, I said I was giving it up. I was quitting.
Yeah.
I'm not a quitter, so I'm back in the fight. And I pulled up my jock strap and all the other stuff that they like, the verbiage they like to use. I'm covering up and I'm taking the blows. I'm about to get back in the fight. And, you know, if you have any Republicans who are listening to your program at this particular time, I have one question to ask them. Why do you elect the dumbest individuals on the planet? I mean, come on. You are upset with the way America is going? Then stop electing dumb-ass people for your representatives who do not represent you. You need clean air and water in your state. You got assholes fighting hard to keep you from having clean water and clean air. You want to be able to govern your own body and your own space, but you elect a person who will take that from you. I don't get it. That's less than a fifth grade mentality. I'm sorry. I just cannot follow it.
Well, I understand, but maybe I can help a little bit, Lamar. You said you need to stop it. They need to stop it, but stop electing morons and start electing. They don't want to. You got to understand, when we're talking about, like, say, a Clanny Oakley here, a Lauren Bobblehead Boebert, they think she's smart. They love Donald Trump so much because Donald Trump is what a stupid person thinks a smart person sounds like.
Well, you know, I can argue that point, but I don't want to do it on this segment of your show. Stupid, like they, like, it might, okay, I'm a tell-in baby boomer. I was born in 58, 16 years after the World War II ended. I am part of the solution. I'm also part of the problem. I'm not part of the problem, but I have a lot of colleagues who are. With that mentality, it don't affect me, so why should I worry about it? It does affect you, stupid. Whatever happens in the lower states is going to eventually work its way up. And like I said, are you sitting there saying, I don't like none of the politics and what's going on? Well, you know why they don't like our politics? Because they were not educated on who runs and how shit is ran. Everybody's point, I mean, I am getting so pissed off. Today, I had to actually turn the politics off. 5 o'clock, really, it was really 2 o'clock your time. I went to music because I couldn't listen to Morning Joe without Joe because they're talking about shit that brings down everybody's opinion on the Democrats. I am a Democrat. Understand me, I'm a Democrat. I'm not a progressive. I'm not a liberal. I am an American. I am a Democratic Party affiliate. I want everybody to go forward. That makes me a fucking socialist. So how do you think I feel? I'm in education. I'm going to send you a link later on today or tomorrow where you can look me up on the internet and it will clarify my ass. And I don't like that I'm on that shit and I never put my shit out there. We have no privacy thanks to W and being scared of terrorists instead of doing what his punk ass should have did. But I'm not going to even blame W. I'm going to go back to the dog, the head dog, Ronald Reagan. He started all this bullshit and they just pumped it on. Like they say, the dog finally caught the car. They've been pushing from 1972 to 2022, the removal of Roe v. Wade. And I get a kick out of it. They since they caught the car, now what they gonna do? They don't know what the fuck to do because that was their moneymaker. They finally got their moneymaker came through with their pack in the court. Let's get real with it. I am an American citizen. If a woman decides to have an abortion, it does not affect me. But if she does have the kid, it affects me. I'm going to tell you why it affects me. Everybody hold on to your seat. Don't get excited. Just calm down. It affects us because now we have to pay welfare for that woman who has the child that she didn't want. Then we're going to have to pay money if she goes to jail for child neglect of that child. That ain't happening if she has an abortion. I'm sorry. If she decides to abort the kid because she don't want the kid, it doesn't cost us nothing because abortion is between the woman, the preacher, or her cleric, the doctor, and the man who is involved. If the man don't want that child and he agrees to abortion, let them have the abortion. I'm like this. I'm going to go right wing. I'm going to go real radical on them. They want to talk about radical? I'm a black militant. I'm going radical on them. Okay, fine. Make her have the kid. She has the kid. You find out who the father is, and you lock his ass up for 18 years. Because that's what child support will do. Lock his ass up for 18 years. Oh, they don't want to hear that stuff. And let's put it even better. If the kid is 15 years old and he gets another 10-year-old kid pregnant, knowing that a 10-year-old child cannot bear a child because her body is not physically fit or able to produce a kid, so when she dies producing that child and the child dies, he gets a double homicide. So send that little 13-year-old or 15-year-old asshole to jail. Lock his ass up and put it over the end. Oh, they'll change their attitude when you bring the real facts to the stuff. I'm tired of men getting away with bullshit. I got three daughters. I can talk shit. I've had three abortions. I can talk it. I know what it does. I know about it. Men who don't have no damn idea what's going on, get your ass out of the conversation. It's that damn simple. And then to listen to Holly and all these other assholes who don't have children, don't have daughters, shut the fuck up. I am so tired of men talking about women's problems, they don't have an IQ about it. I'm like this. If a woman comes up and tries to tell me what's going on with a man, I'm going to tell her to shut up. But if I try to talk about what's going on with a woman, she tells me, kiss her ass, shut up, and I'm not going to do this, I will bow down and walk away gracefully because I am out of my lane. It's that damn simple. If you don't know what's going on, shut the fuck up. Because all you're doing is creating a problem. And America's problem is we got too many little motherfucking problems. And all these children that I have to deal with come up, don't know a goddamn thing about government. This is what I'm listening to. I hear on all channels, why doesn't President Biden do this, that, and this? Okay, excuse me. We don't have a dictatorship. Whatever the Congress and the Senate says is what we get. If Biden decides to sign it into law, it's a law. If he chooses to veto it, they can override his punk ass. Where the fuck is the education on government in this stupid-ass country? I'm tired of the stupid. I mean, I can't stand stupid. That burns the fuck up out of me. Stupid. And to me, stupid and not knowing are two different things.
No,
stupid
ignorance is the absence of knowledge. Stupid is not giving a damn. Ignorance can be cured. You can't fix stupid.
Well, stupid is a point of view and a... Remember the Dr. Seuss cartoon where the two ideal members come face to face and one won't go either way and the world goes around their ass? This is where we at right now. My wife's going to have to... you hear the phone, right? My wife's going to have to hold off. I'm sorry. I am not answering the phone.
You go, Lamar.
No, I'm not going nowhere. No, I'm not going nowhere. I'm on my soapbox, so leave me alone. I'm like this. We cannot fix our problem. One of the problems that we have in this country is education. That is the main problem we have is education. Education. Reagan and the Republicans in 1974 decided we do not want to teach government. This is why children, adults, people in Congress think the president is all this. Why in the hell they don't understand that there's the Senate and the Congress? I mean, I'm listening to Democrats and everybody else talk about this, that, and this. Why is Biden ain't doing this? You know what? If you want Biden's program to go through, then you need to put more Democrats in the House and the Senate. Because a 50-50 in the Senate and whatever we got in the House is not going to get his programs pushed. And then you want to blame him for your bullshit attitude of not putting help in there for him. I'm like this. Hey, under W, politics became a goddamn game. Our team against their team. Well, you know what? If you want, but okay, if you're going to go with that analogy, let's do that analogy. If you're not going to get the A1 players on your team, then shut the fuck up. It's real simple. If you want to go into a game with D and F players and you're playing against the AB team, don't be surprised you get your ass whooped. It's a given. I play sports. I'm an athlete. If I go into the game knowing that I got DNF players and they got an AB team, I got to figure out how to not get them or let them get into a position where they can dominate my punk ass. But you got all these, I'm going to say latte drinking stupid because, you know, latte drinking on both sides. Every time something go wrong, they want to blame the Democrats. When something go right, they want to give it the right to the Republicans. Okay. Give the rights to the Republicans. When we wanted to do a bipartisan infrastructure deal, not one goddamn Republican voted for it, but they all jumped up there and took credit for that shit. Why the fuck they ain't recognizing that? Why the fuck the media ain't talking about that? I'm like this. Bleed does not lead. If it bleeds, it's not the top order on my agenda. What's on the top end on my agenda is what affects the American people. I am a goddamn American. My political party is second, and my religion is none of your goddamn business. And they want to bring in this theocracy that we want to put church back into the schools. Well, you know what? Put it back in. You're going to find out that you're going to have more animosity than you thought. Because the first problem you're going to have is who's the goddamn religion is going to be top dog? Christianity? Okay, Christianity. Well, okay, you got Methodist, Baptist, Catholic. They're all under Christianity. Who's going to be the top dog? I mean, we got the Republicans have put dumbass, stupid mother uncles in the office, and they are pushing stupidity to take us into the dark ages. I'm not worried about myself because I'm self-contained. I got my own damn business. I got a government job. My kids got government jobs. As long as the government is functioning and they keep their mouth shut like I told them, they got a job. They're going to make their $40,000, $50,000, $80,000 a year. Stupid is not knowing how to work in the system. And a lot of Americans don't know how to work in the goddamn system. I'm too damn old to save you. I can't help you. I can only advise you. Just like their mascot, Trump. 30,000 people tell him you shouldn't do this. One asshole tells him you should go for this. And he goes with the one asshole. You need to sleep in that bed. I don't care how many people, like my grandmother and my grandparents told me, and my elders told me, you sleep with dogs, you're going to get goddamn fleas. It's that damn simple. I understand everybody's problem. I'm black. Anything that attacks you eventually is going to be flipped back on my ass because I understand civil rights. I was born in 58. When was civil rights given to the Negro population? 60 what? I remember when my parents went from Republican to Democrats. I'm the generation they want to shut the fuck up and don't want me to say a goddamn thing because I know what they're doing. As long as I stay quiet, they can do what they're trying to do to you people. And I'm sorry. I'm done with it. I'm going to be voiceful. And I'm going to put my ass out there on the limb because I'm 63 years old. I don't expect to get past 87. So I'm going to die soon. So I might as well go out with what they say, a bang. I'm going out with a bang, Robin. I'm sorry. I am tired of being passive. I'm not passive. I'm extremely aggressive, but I know as a black person, I got to be passive. Because the minute I show I can do this, that, and this, I become a target. And when you become a target, you know what happens? You become dead. It's real simple. I've watched my leaders killed. Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, other people, massacre. They tell you that the Black Panther Party is like, but nobody talks about why the Black Party was created. We were created to do one thing, protect Negroes within a white society. Nobody wants to talk about that. Do they talk about the Black Panther feeding the homeless, feeding the needy? Hell no. They talk about the Black Panthers going up to Sacramento scaring the shit out of Ronald Reagan. And California gets a gun law. And all this other bullshit. History is the reason why we are suffering today. I don't give a shit about talking about slavery. Because one thing they talk about, when you talk about slavery, do they talk about the slaves in the North? Fuck no. They always talk about the slaves in the South. What about the slaves in the North? Oh, George Washington had slaves. Well, hell, George Washington had slaves. Yes, he did. He treated his slaves according to the Bible. He treated them as human beings and extended family. Guess what? George Washington released his slave before Abraham Lincoln became president. Nobody wants to talk about that shit.
Well, sure
Thomas
we do.
Jefferson.
Hold on, Lamar. I mean, I can't cope with historical revisionism. George Washington benefited greatly from the people whom he enslaved. He was also not in the North.
Okay,
he was. Hold on, I'm talking. He was in Virginia, which is the South. He did emancipate his enslaved people upon his death, but not one second before. Thomas Jefferson, on the other hand, kept enslaved the half-sister of his dead wife and kept her in a room with no windows where she couldn't, you know, couldn't make any trouble. And he never emancipated his enslaved people. Okay?
You know what? I am not going to have this discussion with you because of the race disparity. I understand you are Caucasian. I understand that I am black. I'm like this. You were in West Virginia. I'm in California. My education and my technology and stuff that was bestowed on me is totally different from you. And I hated it when, I don't see, what year was that? It was between 86 and 92 when Texas took over all the educational books that were being put out. See, I'm in the school system. I know what they do. The state that has the most pull gets to put their fingerprint on the education. And right now, Texas has a footprint. So they're trying to change all the books to reflect their personal feelings about it. My problem is this. Slavery happened. Just like I'm going to tell you, like I tell a lot of people. People ask me, do I ever want to know my ancestry tree? And I tell them, no, I do not want to know. And they say, why? I say, what if I am the grandson of the Egyptian pharaoh who enslaved the Hebrews that God had to deliver them from? You really think I want to know that? Do you really think I want to know God delivered his people from my family tree? Think about that. Really think about that. I know I'm an African from African descent. I don't want to know that I'm Egyptian. I am a distant relative of Pharaoh. And then guys come to find out that Moses, we ain't going to get it. You don't like the Bible stuff.
The thing is, none of that is historically documentable. It is all mythology, okay? And so arguing about it is meaningless. It's like arguing. True. It's like an argument about, I don't know, Theseus or any of the Greek myths, okay? It's just, there is no historical, there is no archaeological, anthropological, there is no evidence whatsoever for the Exodus or the enslavement of the Hebrews, okay? It does not exist.
Okay, I'm going to put it to you this way. Of all the times I've called in, I'm going to say thank you for giving me a relief. I really love you for that, because that has always been a burden on me. And it's still a burden on me. I only allow one race of people to be pissed off at me, and that's Jewish people. And you got to be Hebrew. Outside of that, I will kick you in your nuts, okay?
Don't be a little hard to do with me.
Like you say, thank you for giving me some comfort. You gave me some comfort. You may not think you did, but you did. You gave me some comfort. I appreciate you as a friend for that. But I'm like this. Like you said, you're talking about raging Cajun. Okay, I'm not Cajun. I'm a raging Indian. And you know what happens to raging Indians? We get the stick with the boo-boo on it. The stick with the side with the boo-boo on it. And, you know, I'm like this. Robin, My grandmother was born in 1901. She lived until 1997. She relied a whole lot of knowledge on me. Everybody's up here screaming about the inflation right now. I'm changing stuff. Everybody's screaming about the inflation right now. You may not remember when we had 11 to 14 point inflation back in the 70s.
Oh, I do.
Early 80s. But see, you and I have somewhere to talk about. We've been here, done that. My grandparents taught me how to survive during the Depression, the Great Depression. So everybody up here screaming and squalling and squeezing and jumping up and down, they haven't conniptions. I just tell my children, who I have control over, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to do. This is what you need to do. And they're like, oh, Dad, we love you, old Dad. Yeah, this is happening. I'm like, yeah. It's not what they claim it to be. All right, now, thanks to Ronald Reagan, America does not produce a goddamn thing on its soil. This is why we are so damn dependent when we used to be independent from the rest of the world. When Carter wanted to put solar panels and get us off of oil, Reagan come in and pumped us up harder to be on oil. Reagan set up this program to where we can ship all American jobs overseas. Well, now there's no people in America who can do the jobs that are overseas. Now we need to have our own shit. We ain't got nobody trained to do it. Oh, Reagan's famous speech, the American people are above that. We don't need to, they don't need to worry about that stuff. Americans don't need, we're too great a society to be worrying about manufacturing jobs. Let's let those lesser countries do it. Yeah, the lesser countries were doing it. They were getting punked. Now the lesser countries can't do this shit, and we're depending on the lesser countries, and guess where we at? Butt fucked. I mean, at least tell me I'm pretty when you're sticking in my ass, okay? Oh, I'm sorry for going San Diego on you. What's his name, my boy in San Diego?
I don't know what you mean by that. Are you talking about Scott?
Yeah, Scott. Scott always turns your show into dirty.
No, he doesn't. no, he doesn't, Lamar. I could do without the inherently homophobic and occasionally transphobic comments, but I understand what you're getting at.
Let me put you this way. I will fight for you as my brother, regardless of whatever you choose to live.
Not your brother.
You have to understand with me, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. I'm politically correct when it is feasible. But sometimes trying to tap dance around certain things, I'm like this. I want you to understand. I want the rest of the community to understand.
Well, I need you to understand that respecting people and treating them the way they want to be treated and referring to them the way they want to be referred to is not political correctness. That's just common decency.
I do common decency. But there is a point in the verbiage where you have to draw the line. And I'm just letting you know I'm on your side of the line. Regardless of how I might sound, I got your back. That's what I'm trying to say. I am a true Scorpio. I am mean and vicious and vindictive as they can be. But once I call you my friend, I will die with you. It's that simple. I don't want what I say to people say, oh, he's talking this and no. You in a bar fighting this like in this, I'm going to knock the person's teeth out and I will fight for you if you cannot fight for yourself. which makes it really hard to call me anti or whatever. I am a human being. I believe in everybody's rights. And see, by me speaking, let me put this on. Whatever they do to you, your race, your people, the LGB and all this stuff, see, what nobody pays attention to, it's a civil rights thing. So whatever they can get away with doing to you, they're going to eventually come after me. So I'm like this. I love Clarence Thomas' situation. Let's break up the trans, the marriage equality thing. Lesbians and gays cannot get married. Okay, fine. Let's go to 1967. I was born in 58, remember? Let's go back to 1967, the love it takes. Let's get rid of whites marrying black. Get your black ass away from your white wife. I think he wants it to be changed because he wants to get away from his wife without paying alimony. Because if they declare his marriage illegal, he don't have to pay a goddamn penny. Now, that's the morbid and deep, dark side of me. But think on that. I mean, chew on that for a bit. Clarence Thomas is the wrong person to be talking about civil rights, because he got his punk ass in there on the, what they call, affirmative bullshit. He got in there on a technicality that we have to put at least one person of color on the bench. He was, not outside of Thurgood Marshall. He was the second black person put on that bench. And he's been there a long ass time. But by him being a lapdog, in my group, Uncle Tom or Sambo, or in my case, the House Negro, he was the House Negro, so they're not getting rid of the House Negro because he's beneficial. Clarence Thomas, to me, is a House Negro, and he's been a House Negro since he was put in. Clarence Thomas does not reflect or acknowledge anything that I'm interested in because he goes he flows with the current tide. And he makes sure that he stays on the white side of the flow. Because if it comes blowing toward the people of color, when I say people of color, I'm not saying black. I'm saying anybody who is not white. That's what the term colored means. If you ain't Blanca, you colored. So it's real simple. It's real simple. Our politics have gotten dangerous. And the lack of education from 1983 is why we're at right now. Because if you were to walk up right now, Robin, if you walked out and went into the village or the town and asked a young person, do you know anything about government? No. How does the government work? I ain't got no idea. It was a purpose.
You forget where I live.
You forget where I live.
If I went and asked somebody that question, they would tell me they know everything there is to know about government because Q told them.
Well, all you have to do is say, who's the most powerful person in the government? They're going to tell you, the president. And you said, then why is it able for him to be impeached? And that kills that one right there. If he's so powerful and so magnanimous, how can he be impeached if he's the top dog? Why is it the president only gets 8 years maximum, where your senator and congressman can die in office? Whoa, those are two comebacks that you need to put in your arrow quiver so you can shoot at these son of a bitches. Mitch McConnell knows why. Mitch McConnell knows the most powerful position is the head of the Senate, especially if you got five seats, because you can shut down and stop everything they want. Remember, he's told the white population of Republicans, I'm going to make Obama a one-term president. Well, he lied to them there, but he made sure nothing Obama and the Democrats put forward. See, here's the biggest problem. The real big problem is most people don't understand that you need the Congress and the Senate to agree upon how the American people live. That's where we go back to stop electing stupid Republicans. I need my roof fixed. The Democrats are talking about getting my roof fixed. You're talking about letting my house burn down. Why should I vote for you? And that's not me. It is under W. I watched the politics go from being political to a goddamn sports team. A goddamn sports team. Them against us. Our team against their team. And if you really pay attention, that's how they talk about it. They talk about it like that. We got the Republican. We got to stop the Democratic mentor of this, that, and Well, if I'm a Republican and the Democrats are talking about helping me have a better life, why the fuck can't you agree with letting them do some of the things that they want? What nobody wants to talk about is compromise. No Republican in the House or Senate wants to compromise, because they're under the assumption not compromising means you're working with the enemy. Excuse me, we're all Americans. There's no goddamn enemy here. If the Democrats got nine programs they want to push, take out three and put three of your own in, Republicans. Damn. Oh, I'm sorry. The Republican Party doesn't give a fuck about their constituents. Oh, I'm sorry. You don't. You need house. You need this, that, and this. Well, you're Republican. Well, you shit out of luck. I wouldn't want that person as my representative representing me. The mentality of the American people is sick. I'm sorry, they're sick. When you think that somebody's talking about something that you don't like, even though you might benefit from it, you know what? Open minds, like in the Chinese proverbs and like in Chinese teaching. If your cup is full, I can't teach you nothing. How can I help you if your hand is closed? How can I put anything in your hand if you reach out to me with a fist? I cannot help you. You must have your hand open so I can put something in your hand. The Republicans reach out to us with a closed hand. We are butt-fucked as a country. Until the Republican Party understand that, I don't give a shit what Republican or Democrat gets in. We are butt fucked. And they want the alternative Donald Trump-like people. This is where history comes in again, Robin. Nobody knows about Hitler. Nobody knows about how Hitler got into power and the rest of Mussolini.
Oh, yes, they do. That's why we have a Nazi problem in the military and in law enforcement and in the government. They know plenty about Hitler. It's just that they're fond of him.
Well, you know, when did we develop the Hitler problem? What year?
We've had one all along, but it has gotten more and more over the course of the last couple of decades. But it got out in the open with the accession of Donald Trump to the presidency.
You know, I'm not going to bring up Neville Chamberlain to you because you're 7 years younger than me. You know about Neville Chamberlain. I'm not going to do that with you because I know where your education is because you're only 7 years younger than me. You have almost is not equal to what I got. Neville Chamberlain and the Nazi mentality was in it. Nobody wants to talk about Henry Ford and the Bushes and all those
the Dearborn Independent, Henry Ford's Nazi newspaper? Sure.
Well, we can talk about the Bushes who helped, and their father helped create the petroleum and all that other shit in Nazi Germany. See, this is why I was talking about earlier. We don't teach American history. If we talk about, nobody wants to talk about the problem in Venezuela, because who's the reason why there's a problem in Venezuela? The USA. Oh, hell no. You shut up. You bite your tongue. You can't talk like that. And then you have Mr. Crazy Man on CNN, Bolton, talking about, oh, yeah, we created a lot of coups all over the world. No shit, Sherlock. But that only registers with people of a certain age.
I heard that, and it's like, maybe you should tell that to somebody in The Hague.
Yeah, but see, that's the problem. You and I, of our generation, we know what America has done. We know the bad, we know what America has done bad. We know what America has done good. And as a black person, I'm going to tell you, every law that been introduced into America started off on a good premise. And you and I can agree on this. It's not the law, it's who administers the law. That's the problem. When Clinton came out with no strikes, three strikes, you're out, and it was three strikes law, it was a beautiful law. But if the cops are only going to look at Mexicans and blacks, that's not a good law. you get my drift?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, I mean, every law that the Americans come up with that is good for America, somebody finds a way. What was that guy? You might know who said it. But whatever man creates, somebody, another man can destroy. And that's what we suffer from in this country. No matter what goodness that is put out there, if you don't have people of good heart in positions of control, you're going to have havoc. I get a kick out. Everybody talks about your gender, lesbians, gays, and all this, like it just started in the 80s. Excuse me, it was way before that. Nobody wants to talk about the guy who just developed the Periscope. Ooh. There's a lot of people who were bisexual or whatever who came up with fantabulous ideas that they're used now. But they don't talk about it. I would like for America to get back to where it was almost at between 63 and 74, where we were all Americans. Didn't matter what your preference. If you want to wear pink on Monday, you had the right to wear pink on Monday. And everybody just moved on. Why can't we get back to that? Why can America not get back to letting people live their fucking lives? Why do I, because I don't like pink, why do I have to demand that you can't wear pink? That's bullshit. You don't like pink, then take your ass home and stay. Some of us out here like pink. Some of us want to wear pink. Some of us want to wear pink and turquoise. Why do I have to cater to your punk ass? And you know what happened is, I don't know if it was between 67 and 71, where the minority situation became real prevalent. And the Republicans have been running on the minority everything. They're the minority in every view, but they managed to be top dogs. And you know what? Let's get political for a few minutes. I'm pulling for them to put their legislators and all this other stuff. So when they decide that regardless if the Democrat wins their state, they're going to change it. I'm ready. We're going to have a civil war. They're setting up everything for a civil war. And, you know, I'm like this. Sometimes you need to give people what they want. Stop trying to keep them. Okay, I keep telling you, that plate is hot. I keep slapping your hand. Stop trying to touch the plate. Stop touching the plate. Let them burn their ass. Because once they burn their ass, they're going to realize maybe our ideas wasn't that great. But you know what? You have two choices. Either lead, follow, or get the fuck out the way, as we say in the military. And that's where we're getting to. We're getting to a point where you either lead, follow, or get the fuck out the way. Because you have people who have been elected in positions who think they want something that is not conducive for the United States of America. I'm tired of listening, like I said, I'm circling back around. I'm tired of listening to stupid Republicans elected talking about what they think they should be. Like Boebert, I don't know if you know, Boebert was up there talking about, we are a Christian state. The government's supposed to follow the Bible. Well, you know what? If you're going to follow the Bible, you and your husband will be stoned to death right off the top. He's out there showing himself and propagating nudity and all this stuff. One of the Ten Commandments you ain't supposed to do. So stone his ass and then stone you because you're his wife. If you're going to go biblical, you need to know all the rules with the biblical bullshit. If the husband did something wrong, they're going to kill him, then they're going to kill the wife and the rest of the family. Do you guys understand that bullshit? Or is that a portion of the Bible y'all forgot? Or you don't want to recognize. I'm like this. Every action has a reaction. If you don't want the reaction, don't start the action. Am I wrong with that, Robin? I'm sorry for making you speechless, but am I wrong? If you start some shit, don't be surprised if you get shit on your clothes.
Yeah, don't want shit. Don't start shit. It's a pretty easy phenomenon.
I'm getting off my soapbox right now. I'm gonna get back on level ground because you know I was heated. I started this morning. I wake up 2:00 LA time, which is 1 to 12 your time. And I started listening to the political. I turned it all off and I went to music. And around 5:00 my time, which would be 8:00 your time, I went to listening to Talking Heads and everything, all the music that I know. And most of my music is political, but it doesn't sound political. So I'm like this. I'm in a real good mood. I'm in a damn good mood, but I am aggressive due to my nature. But, you know, like I said earlier, wishing, praying, all that. I want the Republicans to wake up and start electing people who is going to do what is best for America, not for your ego or personal vendetta against somebody. I got a question for you. I have voted for Republicans before. No, this is too easy of a question for you. The last Republican I voted for was Reagan. I didn't vote for him the second time. I voted for him the first time because I thought, based on him being a Democrat and being a member of the Artist Guild and believing in unions, that he would kind of push back. He folded like a cheap lawn chair or whatever you guys use.
Yeah, but
first.
Lamar, when he ran for president, he was a Republican.
He was a Democrat before he ran. When he married Miss Nancy Reagan,
that was 10, 20 years before. He hadn't been a Democrat in 20 years.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
Well, let me put you this way.
He was a Republican when he was governor of California.
Okay, that's where you got where I'm at. Because, see, I didn't like what he did to California.
Reagan destroyed the public education system of California. Good God,
yes,
Lamar.
He did.
Good God, when he ran for president, I've only talked about this a million damn times on this program. He opened his campaign for president in the home of the Klan in Neshoba County, Mississippi, only a few miles away from where three voting rights activists were murdered by the Klan and their bodies dumped in an earthen dam. He gave a speech about states' rights that every racist in America knew that he was saying, I am with you and I'm going to do your bidding. That was Ronald Reagan's first campaign for president.
Okay, that's the main reason I didn't vote for him the second time, because he butt-fucked me big time. Remember, I am in the
school system. I'm keeping
track.
That's your sixth butt-fuck.
My mother is a school teacher. I watch her start coming out of pocket behind this stuff. Then when I found out the governor Reagan was doing it, I was like, okay, I was hoping he would change this, that, and this. When he got into office and when he moved the working poor from $9,000 a year to $24,000 a year, he fucked everybody in the United States. I hated him with a hot poker passion. So he lost me and he made me billimit. I never voted for another Republican since then. And I regret that I voted for him the first time. But I'm like this. Everybody's allowed to fuck up one time in their life. But to understand that you fucked up and you're trying to fix it makes you a better person. I fucked up and voted for that asshole. And I will blame him for why we're where we at now, because that motherfucker shipped all our goddamn jobs overseas. This is why we're not independent. We are dependent behind that motherfucker and doing the bidding for corporate America. Why should I pay the American person here $15 an hour or $8 an hour when I can get this Chinese person who worked for 35 cents? And then he allowed everybody. When Reagan became president of the United States, I was working for the city of Los Angeles. We were purchasing everything in the United States. All of a sudden, we started purchasing shit from Taiwan and everywhere else. I'm like, wait a minute. And then the shit started breaking 3 to 8 days after we got the shit, we were wasting money like a motherfucker. Oh, I can go on and on about how we've been purged and bullshit and lubricated.
Lord, I know.
And we as Americans, sometimes, like my elders used to tell me, patience is a virtue. Sometimes patience will show you the light to make you change your direction. And that's where I'm at right now. My patience, I don't have no patience, but I got tolerance of a goddamn clown. But I can see where we're going. I see what you're trying to do. So now I start working to counteract what you're doing. There's been a lot of my friends wants me to run for political position. And my answer was always, I don't want to die yet. Because I know I would get shot. But right now, I am having a whole lot of changes in philosophy. And if I can get in and get everybody to thinking on a neutral, normal page, let's go with it. I'm like this. I'm like now. I'm like this. America, vote Democratic if you want to have a better life. If you want to live like you're living, vote Republican. Real simple. Because the Republicans are not allowing anything that's going to help you better your life. They were against the America, whatever, Obama health care, knowing it was going to help every American on this, every American. The Republicans fought that tooth and nail. And then when they got control of the House and Senate, guess what they did? They gave us lip service about, we're going to reform it, we're going to reform it. They had no intentions of reforming it because they knew it was helping their constituents, and for them to take it away would mean that they wouldn't be in office. Guess what? The same scenario came up now. They've been screaming and hollering about abortion. Hey, the dog caught the car. Now they don't know what the fuck to do about catching the car. And I love it. I don't love it. But I'm going circling back again. That 10-year-old kid.
Well, before you circle back, I gotta tell you, you just got a note from our pal Matt in San Francisco who sent an email, said the subject line just says Reagan. And Matt says, Lamar has confirmed the age-old adage, you can't say Reagan without motherfucker. And for that, Matt gets a cowbell. I like to think that Matt's got I like to think Matt collects his cowbells and keeps them on the mantelpiece there in the lovely Bay Area. Thank you, Matt.
Give him a cowbell. Can you, Greg, give him a...
There you go.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. But I'm like this. I have lived. I was taught by white and black educators in the 60s. They told me, son, you need to pay attention to the politics because the politics would determine how you live. So I've been a political dog since 69. I'm watching everything that you do. If I got into politics, I would be a beast because I see where they're going before they get there. Been there, done that. Remember that thing? Been there, done that? I've seen it. I've seen the results. I can only tweak it. I hope that I get a better result. Now, if I tweak it and I don't get the result, I know not to tweak it like I did. Hands-on training is a bitch, Robin. And paying attention helps. And staying out of certain things. Like I said, my grandparents taught me how to survive during the Depression. Man, if push comes to shove, I go out there and start growing my own vegetables. I know how to grow vegetables. I can become a vegan or a vegetarian because I'm not going to grow or raise any chickens because I can't slaughter them, I can't kill them, and I don't know how to clean them. That's not it. But I can put a fucking pond in my backyard and raise all the fish I want. I know how to clean the fish. Just like I told my friends, let's go hunting, Tolbert. Let's go hunting. I said, okay, let's go hunting. We're going to go bear hunting. I said, I need a 44 Magnum with dum-dum bullets. Why do you need that, folks? And when I climb over the tree, I'm going to shoot down and kill that motherfucker.
What the?
I'm simple.
Oh my God. Jesus.
you from Manhattan, you know. If a bear is hunting you, you don't climb up. You know, I'm climbing up the tree.
Lamar, you got to lead him a little bit.
The hell no. I'm running up that tree. I'm going to find one I can climb. So if I can climb, I know he can climb it. I know when the branches start getting thin, his weight is going to slow him down. Well, you got to remember, I'm an engineer. So I know his weight going to slow him down. About 4 or 5, my buddy said, what about the carcass? I don't give a shit about his carcass. I want to live. I'm going to dumb bullet that bastard to death. By me being 210 pounds and him being 500 pounds, he can't go that high. We're all going to crash and fall to the ground, but he's going to be dead. They told me, hey, what about the rug? I mean, what about his skin? I said, dude, survival. Do you understand what survival is? I'm not like you. I'm not a glory hound. I am a realist. I know I'm in his backyard. By me being in his backyard, I need extra protection. Shit, I'm like this. I told my God, I'm like this. If a bear ever charged me, I can swim like a fish. Okay, if a bear ever charged me, I'm on the edge of a lake. I'm swimming out into the middle of the lake. Why are you going to do that? The bears can swim. Yeah, but it's kind of complicated trying to swim, catch, and kill at the same damn time. If you look at all the pictures, them motherfucking bears have their feet firmly planted on the base, the bottom of the pond, of the riverfall. I'm going to take him out there in 20, 15 feet of water. Since I can swim, I'm going to go underwater. I'm going to make him have to go underwater and chase me. It's going to be who got the better lung capacity. I used to be a lifeguard, so I think I got a damn good lung capacity. But you know what? Critical thinking is not taught in our school. I'm sorry. And, you know, I'm going back. I'm going to shoot you. I went online. And I typed
don't
in my name
me.
And
don't,
shit.
Don't use them damn dum-dum bullets on me, Lamar. Don't shoot.
No, if I'm swimming away from your ass, if I'm out there hunting with a 30-06, I'm going to have a 44 Magnum, probably two, with dum-dum bullets. I'm going to find the first tree I can climb up. Now, if I can't find a tree to climb up, I'm going to look for water. I'm going to swim out to the middle of the lake and make you quit. I can tread water. Well, at the time they were talking, I could tread water for at least 8 minutes. I passed the lifeguard, what you call it. I can float and do that, what you call it. I can't do it now because I'm an old fart. I'm like, just shoot me and just put me on my misery. Shoot me now. Oh, no. I passed the lifeguard test, and I was a licensed lifeguard back in 91. I can swim. I can do all of them. I did butterfly, breaststroke, backstroke. You name it, I did it. Most Olympic pulls, if it was, okay, give you a general idea. If the pull lift was 70 feet, I could go from the one end to the other end underwater. I swam that good. Okay. There's no way since I've been drinking and smoking and I've gotten so much out of shape, I just look at you and say, you want me to swim? Okay, fine. I go out there and I just dog paddle. or try to remember how to float. You know what? That was so funny. I could never float. And I was always pissed off at all the people who could float. But when I took the lifeguard test, they taught me how to float. I can float now. And you know what floating is? Floating is a mindset. Nobody tells nobody that. It's a mindset. Tell yourself you're buoyant and don't let it out of your mind. And once you make your mind up that you're buoyant, you notice your feet and everything come up to the top, because normally where dead people die and drown, give them about 30, 40 minutes, they'll be at the top of the water. Because there's no more thinking and no more anything, because you're there.
They just can't hold their breath that long.
I'm going to have fun with that one. Everybody's hated comedian, Noah, how long can you tread water?
I was thinking of the very same old joke. How long can you tread water?
Well, see, this is what I'm telling you. This is what I'm telling you. See, I'm 7 years older than you. Only problem that we have, you are in West Virginia, I'm in California. And I understand one thing. We have two worlds of philosophy. But one thing we do have in common, we're both Americans. And what helps you helps me in the story. What you benefit from, I benefit from, too. Because, see, if you're living a good life, that means I can live a good life. If you're living a shitty life, I can't live a good life. Because we got to send resources to your state to help you move up, which means they got to cut my punk ass off. Oh, I got to share this with you, Robin. In 1981, I was temporarily unemployed. So I had to go to the unemployment office. I went in there, and this heifer was talking to me like, why are you in here? You ain't got no OT. I said, wait a minute, woman. I paid for unemployment. It came out of my check. You don't want to give me my unemployment money? I love it. I need you to give me some whole life. You know what? I said, you know what, lady? Once I figure out how not to pay into this shit, you'll never see my black ass again. Well, I never figured out how not to pay into unemployment, but I figured out how not to have to go back into that motherfucking place. Those motherfucking people, they believe that that money is theirs, and you are not deserving of a penny. That is sick in the head, Robin. Where is the humanity in this goddamn country? We lost it. America right now is the most hateful country. I'm going to put it in the top five of the most hateful countries in the world. They hate everything. If you talk and you really listen, everybody hating on something. Nobody's talking about, I love this, I like this, I want this, I like it, I'm happy for them. You don't hear that. All you hear is, I don't like this, I dislike this. We are the most hateful motherfucking country amongst others. Some people got the legitimate right to be pissed off. I understand that. Because I understand autocracy, dictatorship, and all this. But America, she not need be in that group. And then when you start hating on your own people, where are we going to go? I'm like this. America, if DeSantis runs for president and he wins, well, before he wins, I'm going to get my passport and I'm gone. Me and my wife, we're gone.
Where are you going to go?
Because I don't care.
Where are you going to go?
Where am I going to go? I'm going to go to a neutral country like the Netherlands. I've been to the Netherlands, and like I say, excuse me, racism is there, but they're not going to go out there and string a Negro up for no reason. Most European countries are racist, but they, depending on where you came from, if you came from America, they're like, oh, I feel your pain. I feel your pain, son. Come on, pat you on the head, and we'll take you in. Only thing bad that I don't like about moving over there or going over there, I can't own shit. Everything is a 99-year lease. And then what really would butt-fuck me, I would have to become a citizen of the Netherlands.
Seven.
So I can have health care. Say a year?
No, it's okay. I said seven.
Oh, okay, seven. But like I say, when I was over there in 83, man, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. I don't think only two things I was against was you couldn't own your property. Couldn't own the land. And then when I found out that the people who had land, they were leasing it. So I'm like, shit, this is no fun. I go back to America where I can own my little plot of garbage. Half an acre, less than an acre, 1.2 acres of land, pay my taxes, let my house fall in on me, shit, put up a tent, steal my land. Did I go too rogue on you right there?
No, I'm right here. Right here.
Because I'm like this. In America, it's not your house. It's your property. Your house could fall in. You can knock it down and put up a pup tent. As long as you pay that $1,000 a month for that property, you can live like you want to live on your property. You want to walk butt naked around on your property, you can do it. That's what freedom is. And the Republicans are taking all our freedoms away. Like I told, I told a friend of mine, I said, I can't stand having a Republican in office. Because every time a Republican gets in office, I lose a freedom. I lost freedom under Daddy Bush. I lost the freedom of privacy under W. And then under Trump, I lost even more. I see, one thing I like about Trump, let me rephrase that. One thing about Trump's administration, it was geared toward him. And if you understand what is going toward him, if you get within the comforts of the flow, you are protected. This is why Meadows and the rest of them are going to get butt burned, because they're no longer in the flow.
Seven and a half.
And they're exposed. They're exposed like there's no tomorrow. And so I'm like this. I watch the trials. I'm enjoying the trials. And one thing I'm liking is that they're exposing that conniving, cheating, racist person. I don't want to call him by his race because I have to put too many disclaimers in. People, let me put it to you this, Robin. I have never liked Trump since 1973. You're like, damn.
So you liked Trump. You disliked Trump longer than you disliked Reagan.
Yes. Reagan I had hope for, but then, like you said, I know he switched parties. I didn't know how long he had switched parties, but I knew he switched parties. And when he switched parties, he became Dar Reagan. He never became a Sith, but he was Dar Reagan or whatever. He was in your territory, he's that pimple on that ass that you can't pop.
Yep, can't either can't reach it or it won't cooperate.
I was like, I was waiting for you. I needed your honest reply, or more or less like a wood tick that's caught up in some area that it shouldn't be. I had one of those one time. I was dating a girl out there in East Texas. We went out in the woods and got fun and all this and this. Come back and find a couple of ticks where they shouldn't have been. Thank God I was able to look down there and see it. Because at my state right now, they'll just be sucking up the blood. Because anything past 45 degrees is not negotiable. You're not laughing with me, Robin.
Oh, I'm laughing. I've just got the mic muted.
Okay. Because, you know, 45 degrees yeah, at so, my age, so 45
the,
degrees.
So the air conditioner noise won't drown you out.
Was it that hot there?
Yeah. Yeah, it was up past 80 degrees in here a few minutes ago. Had to reposition the AC.
Oh, I mean, like I say, nobody's talking about climate change. You know what? I hate to say this, but in 1968 through 70, I learned about the jet streams and all that stuff. In junior high school, so whatever happens in Europe is going to happen over here. I'm sorry, it's going to happen over here. So, you know, all these climate deniers, keep denying it. But when you go out there and you start your car and your grass, your front of your yard, burst into flames, and the fire department can't come and put it out, guess what? Climate change. You know what? I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to let you go and take some other calls. When I was overseas, I noticed one thing. Scared the living bejesus out of me. The mentality of Americans is dangerous. Because they go overseas and they're under this assumption that America is so much always right. I'm like, dude, because my company sent me over there for 6 months. I was doing an architectural project, and I didn't know nobody. So they sent me because I was, at the time, quote-unquote, air marks, bachelor, wasn't married, didn't have no obligations. I could send me away for whatever, but I was the top designer, architect for the company, so they sent me over there. I get there, I don't know anybody, don't know nothing. So I'm staying at the Hilton, which was right around the corner from the Heineken factory. I love me some Heineken. I drink it like they do, room temperature. Very good. But I ran into more Americans from Florida and off the East Coast. This one guy, okay, I hope you don't wear sandals with socks, okay?
Heresy. Never.
Do you?
With these cute toenails? No way.
Okay. I just want to get that clear because I don't want to offend you, my friend. Even though if I offend you, I was still going to talk about you because you were friends. So you know how it is with friends. We can call each other all kind of names. There's no harm done. But this dude walks in to the pub, Bermuda shorts, white socks, and some sandals. I'm like, oh my God, the most vicious understatement of a fashion statement, which is so bad. And then he gets to talking. He comes over and says, oh, are you American? I said, yes, I am. Oh, good, nice American. I'm like, dude, I'm black. You're white. You don't like my race. You're from Florida. Give me a break. And he started talking about this and that and this. And I started noticing the crowd was kind of ruffling up their feathers. I'm like, okay, it's time to eject. Lamar, eject. God damn it, eject.
Get out of there, Lamar. Get out. Oh, Lamar. Oh, the Lamar in
him. Oh, Robin. All I can hear was, warning, Will Robinson. Warning. I had a lost in space moment like a motherfucker. I'm trying to be polite, and I'm looking for exits, and all the exits are closing. I'm like, okay. And I finally sit there, and I kind of told one guy who was on my left, you notice I happen to be black, right? This dude was talking American. He sounded like Trump. He was talking like Trump. I'm like, oh, my God. I know the history of the area, of the province. I'm sitting there saying, I leaned over to the other white guy, and I told the waitress, I'm not with him. I happen to be black. Okay, can you pass the word around that I am black and I'm not with him? I'm sorry, man. The only thing I loved about that place, oh, my God. If America were to turn like the Netherlands, this place would be a utopia. I'm serious. It would be a utopia. Due to the fact that your tax dollars that you pay takes care of everything. Now, if you want to go to the red light district, you got to pay for that on your own. You want to go to Frankfurt, you're going to have to pay for that from the Netherlands to Frankfurt. But inside that city,
I'm taking that train ride.
Man, I'm like this. Everything is free. Everything in that city is free. Well, except for room and board and certain things. But the majority of public services, public social services is free. The only thing I was upset about was if I got sick, they would fix me, but they would have to try to build from America to cover my medical. That's not cool. Because, like I said, our medical here is all profit. Oh, Mr. So-and-so broke his leg? How did he break his leg? Oh, we don't cover that because he didn't break it according to our rules and regulations in the small print. Then I got to come out of the pocket or rely on the courtesy and the blessing of them. And the blessing on them was they would fix me, but I'm going to get a bill. And my bill is going to be 2 times or 3 times more than them because I'm out of state. That out-of-state shit is real, dude. Real. It's real. I'm like this. I would love to have a uniform healthcare. I mean, okay, let me cut to the chase. Let's get the middle people out of the picture. Get the middle people out of the picture. Healthcare should not be a financial venture. It should be a necessity. And, you know, to bring up somebody nobody likes to talk about, I'm going to tell you why I like Bernie Sanders. I didn't vote for Bernie Sanders, but I'm going to tell you why I like Bernie Sanders. The reason why I like Bernie Sanders, he was promising me something I used to have in the story. Based on my age in the story, he promised me something that I used to have. Free college. Oh, I missed out on free college thanks to who we were talking about, Reagan. He killed free college in California. Medicare, Medicaid, and all that stuff. He ruptured that bullshit. I'm like this. I'm one of those individuals. I would love to go back to 69 through 78. I don't want everything that was in that era, but I would, if I could pick and choose, let me pick and choose. And by you being the age that you are, you don't remember too much of the 70s.
Lamar, are you kidding?
You're 7 years younger than me.
Yeah, I know. That's let's see. I think that's number 5. I have a capacious memory, and yes, I remember much of the 70s because they were so important to me because I was learning to be alive.
This is why I love you as a friend. You have a capacity, a memory of what you have lived. You haven't. See, you know what? No, I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna ask you this. Just between me and you and all the rest of the Hornet family, what is the worst disease you could get?
I don't know that there are any good ones, Lamar.
The worst disease you could get is dementia. Because you lose your memory. You lose who you are. Parkinson and all this, you know who you are, you just don't function correctly. But dementia, a mental disease, you become a vegetable. And then eventually you get to the point where you die because your body doesn't tell the rest of your body to function. I've had three relatives in my family, on my side and my wife's side, die from dementia. And I have had relatives die from cancer, but dementia, that kicks my ass. That's the only thing I'm scared of, Robin, of suffering from dementia. I watched my wife's father, who I grew up with, who was part of my high school life, get to the point where he was asking me, "Who are you? Who are you? I don't know you." Do you know how that feels? Your father-in-law is asking you.
Yeah, Lamar, I do.
Who the hell are you?
I do. I've watched it happen.
Lamar,
please. Yes, I do. And in fact, that's one of those very painful memories. I watched it happen to someone I loved with every bit of my heart. And it absolutely crushed me to see it happen. So, yeah.
Well, you know what? Then let's go to a lighter moment where we both can smile and laugh. Because that is a painful subject, a real painful subject. But, you know, that's what I was saying. That's the only fear that I have. I don't know about you, but I have the fear of being told I got dementia. And then to have Kaiser tell me that my mother has signs of dementia, I'm like, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. But you know what? I do everything I can to make sure. I actually moved in with my mother. I make sure that she keeps her memory up. I mean, I'm like, I work her like a Rhodes Scholar. So I'm like this. I may pass away from it, but she's going to know who she is and what's going on if it kills me. That is my pact with God or with the deity that I worship. So, you know, I'm the true son. I love my mother. I love everybody else. I even love you. Loving you doesn't mean I have to always agree with you.
I'm trying to figure out what I say that's so disagreeable, but you know, that's fine. But Lamar, I gotta get out of here. I really do.
Okay.
Program's pretty well done. So, you know, I hope
I hope I brought you some money because I can't help you until I didn't tell you. My daughter's having her second child.
Oh, congratulations.
So I'm going to be gone. I'm in Southern California. I'm going up north. I'm going to Sacramento. I'm going to be gone from the 25th, 3 weeks after the 25th. So if I call, I'll be calling you from an alleged number. So you're going to have to answer and say, who is this? You ain't going to have my number on the speed dial.
Okay, well, I only knew it was you because you said you were calling in and sent an email earlier. That's how I knew it was you.
Yeah, well, I like to give you a heads up. See, when I give you the heads up, I take all the buttons off the switchboard so you can't push any.
Okay. All right, well, Lamar, all the congratulations in the world to your dear daughter and your lovely grandchild on the way. That's just the happiest thing I've heard all evening.
Please give them, please give them the fondest regards from the entire Horn Family Community Congregation. Will you do that for me, please?
Yeah, I will. But you know what? You're on my bucket list. I got to meet you. I got to make that trip to West Virginia.
Nah, maybe you won't have to. Maybe I'll get out California way. It's, I sit around thinking a lot, spending a lot of time thinking about, you know, venturing out that way to do some things. So, you know, if I do,
you can come out. You come out this way, but I want to see the hills and holler of your backyard.
Oh, well, maybe not my backyard, but then again, my backyard's a national park, so yeah, my backyard.
That's even better. We can go fishing somewhere if they allow. I get my license for
I'm gonna try to put together Horn In number 2, so you might want to jump in on that.
Hey, I might try to do that, my sister.
Nice recovery, thanks. So, you know, listen, you have a good evening, Lamar. You have a super good evening.
Love you.
You take care. Good to hear from you, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Bye now.
You too, buddy. Bye.
The one and only Silent R. Lamar. And it is time to wrap up the program. And yes, I want to thank Women Standing for jumping in on fundraising. Thank you so much. That gets us down to 938 to go. So I guess tomorrow will be Friday on the front porch, 1238. And Lord, don't we need to knock that down? It'd be wonderful if we could. On the way out the door, just a couple of more stories. A quick update. This is one of those exit screaming sort of stories. So we've talked about the 9-year-old little girl who was raped, impregnated by a 26-year-old rapist. She's 10 now. She was taken from the highly misogynistic state of Ohio to the also misogynistic state of Talibah, Indiana, but at the time, well, abortion is still marginally legal. Won't be for much longer. And since the child, or in the term that the law uses, the infant, got her abortion so she would not have to bear her rapist baby and perhaps die in the process, well, the Talibandiana Attorney General is, of course, a good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian Republican. And he has made an announcement. Todd Rokita has. He wants to file criminal charges against the doctor who performed the abortion for the 10-year-old. Her name is Caitlin Bernard, and she's with Indiana University. And within 3 days of performing the abortion, she filed the legally mandated reports with the state of Talibah, Indiana. I'm certain that she has. I imagine she. What they're trying to do is they're trying to find out the identity of the child, because, of course, there is no decency among the maggots and the Republicans, and they want to torment the child. And so a letter went from Attorney General Rokita to the maggot governor, Eric Holcomb, where he said that if he determines, he, Rokita, determines that the papers were somehow not in order, that he wants to get Dr. Bernard's license and criminally prosecute her. What he's trying to do is make sure that no more 10-year-olds who've been raped get abortions. Fabiola Carrion
is the director of reproductive and sexual health at the National Health Law Program. She said, certainly it's an intimidation tactic. It's currently legal in Indiana to offer abortions up to 22 weeks of pregnancy. And even if it wasn't, this is a life endangerment situation. A 10-year-old with a still developing body isn't capable of delivering a baby. This is going to have a chilling effect on providers who won't want to risk making that assessment themselves in the future. Healthcare providers are generally very risk averse. Good God. And to think this motherfucker calls himself pro-life. Good God Almighty. And then, Darlene earlier mentioned Catherine Glenn Foster. She faced some questioning in a House committee hearing on reproductive rights. Because Catherine Glenn Foster is the one who's running around saying she regretted her abortion, so nobody else should be able to have one either because, I don't know, she's queen of the goddamn May or something. She's a special snowflake. Or maybe she's God's agent on Earth. So she faced questioning about whether a 10-year-old would choose to carry a baby.
Would a 10-year-old choose to carry a baby?
I cannot...
Do you think a 10-year-old should choose to carry a baby?
I believe it would probably impact her life, and so therefore it would fall under any exception and would not be an abortion.
Yeah, it wouldn't be an abortion. Only it is an abortion. God, they're desperate to avoid the reality of the horror that they've created.
Wait, it would not be an abortion if a 10-year-old with her parents made the decision not to have a baby that was the result of a rape?
Yeah, that's what she said. That's also what Aaron Morrow of Hawley of the Alliance Defending Dumbasses said. No, that's not an abortion. I mean, we take the precious little fetus out, but it's not a precious little fetus because we said so. I mean, that fetus and that 10-year-old, that was one of them Guatemalan fetuses. So it's not precious. Wouldn't a child that young, Lady B asks, have to have a C-section? 10 years old, raped, and was to become a mother. This is why some of us believe in hell. Our suffering would be unbearable if we didn't. Amen, Lady B. So, thanks again, Janie, and thanks again, Women Standing. Thank you so much. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Thank you to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky earlier in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, head on .live. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is, of course, head on .live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. I'm going to have to pester Ben and see what's wrong with the White Rose stream. We'll try to get that squared away. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. Now a proud union shop. Get your booster. Wear your mask again. You don't want BA4 or BA5. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Maintain your social distance. And for God's sakes, if you run across some blithering, self-hating woman who says, "Well, an ectopic pregnancy isn't an abortion," avoid that dumbass like the plague, because she is.
And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.